The first time I ever went out in public, it was like 11 o'clock at night. I got dressed up and I drove to the gas station, got gas and came home. And I felt like so scared and so nervous doing it because I was like, oh my God, like who's going to look at me? Who's going to stare at me? Like who's going to catch me?
All right. Daviana.
Hi.
Daviana, where are you from originally?
Boston, Massachusetts. Well, Saugus, Massachusetts.
Outside of Boston?
Yep.
Tell me about your family growing up.
Two brothers, two sisters. I was the youngest. My mom was a nurse. My dad was an overnight truck driver. My mom stopped nursing, went into holistic healing, and my dad stopped truck driving and went into business for himself as a general contractor.
How would you describe your childhood in general?
Conflicted, I guess, because I was looking up to my brothers, felt a different way inside, spent a lot of time with my dad building hot rods, played soccer, typical very small child of 6 feet, well, 6 feet tall when I got older, but was still super skinny. I think I graduated high school at like 135, 140 at 6 feet tall. So I was a small kid, got bullied a little bit, that's pretty much the gist of it. Like went to work with my dad as a kid, like we all did, all
but
the brothers
nothing,
did.
Nothing traumatic happened to you in your childhood?
There was traumatic things going on in the house that I wasn't aware of until I was probably like 10 or 11. I'll speak about like things that happened to me, but not my family because they don't want it out there. So, I think the easiest way to say is that my mom grew up in an Italian household where her and her mom were abused. So I don't think she really got out of that habit. I was abused at a certain point. I think I was around 10 or 11. As far as I know, other kids got abused, but they don't really want to talk about it. They don't really want it publicized. So
this is more from your mom than your dad?
Oh, my dad didn't ever. No. Plus, my dad was, I mean, and when we were younger, he was over, like, truck driving for, what the hell was the name of the company? Sanborn Trucking. He was never around. Mom was a short little Italian boss lady. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, she was the one you were scared of, but, you know, God forbid you cross her, she threatened you with dad, and dad was 6'5", like 250. So dad was a big boy. And, you know, you were intimidated easily by dad. It didn't take much. He was a mammoth.
And when you, what age were you when you first felt like you were looking to live your life differently than maybe your brothers?
So I don't know if I would say I was looking to live my life differently. So like I can remember an exact moment that I knew that I felt differently. I was around six. That seems to be the number that keeps coming to my head is 6 years old. But I could have been seven, eight, not positive. But I was literally sitting in my living room and I was watching MTV because back in the day we had MTV and I was watching a Salt and Pepper video. And I remember going, looking at them. And they were in these beautiful red dresses and dancing and singing. They all had beautiful voices. And I was like, I want to be one of them. Like, I wasn't, like, attracted to them in a way of, like, and obviously at 6 years old, I didn't even know what that meant anyway. But, like, I looked at them and I was like, I want to be them. I want to emulate them. And then from there, it was just, like, I was always into, like, looking at women, but not in a way of, like, fantasizing about being with them. It was more about fantasizing about being them. So like I paid lots of attention to how women dressed, what they looked like, you know, the length of my mother's nails and stuff like that. Like it always fascinated me. Heels, all that stuff. It just, the concept of what a woman looked like growing up for me in the 80s, like really touched home with me.
That was interesting what you just said, because for most guys, they see women, they're attracted to them. They want to maybe have a relationship with them. But for you, it's more like you want to emulate them.
Yep. Yeah, very much so. But growing up in the 80s, we didn't have words like gender identity and nobody talked about that. I mean, in the 80s, and I'm sure you know this, like people were still afraid to come out as being homosexual. They were
for
just
sure.
Like, and the school I went to, I think we had like two black kids, maybe one Spanish kid, and two gay kids. That's it.
That sounds like my high school. Yeah, at least what I know of it.
Yeah.
There may have been like, things going on under the surface.
The gay kids got picked on. So like, I couldn't imagine me being like, yeah, you know, I want to dress as a girl. Like, no. Like the amount of abuse I would get at home from my older brothers, you know, because older brothers pick on younger brothers and so on. And like, you know, we're always, it's not like today where like, it's like play a video game or do this. It's like, if you were roughhousing in the house, your parents were just like, take that outside. They didn't care how much you beat the heck out of each other. It was just take that outside. So, and my brother was always way taller than me. So like, he would just hold his hand on my head and I would just sit there and swing and couldn't hit him. It was just like, so like, the last thing I thought about was coming out into the open about how I felt. Not only that, but I didn't really know how I felt. I didn't know what it was, just the feeling. So I was just like, okay, I'll just copy my brothers and do what they do.
Until what age?
Let's see. I would say it was probably, I would say literally within like a year or so of that, I was sneaking up into my mom's room, trying on some of her clothes when I had the opportunity to be sneaky, especially if they went away, not went away, but like we're both out of the house. But I would say it wasn't until well until I was an adult, after the Marine Corps, that I actually started like purchasing clothes for myself to wear, like in private, you know, stuff like that. So well into my early 20s, 23, 24, something like that, before I actually started like being like, I'm going to buy this for myself. I'm going to buy that for myself. And like, now that I think about it, I can remember like my first wife, she had an outfit and some boots and she was just like, I want to put this on you and I want to see what you look like. And I was like, is this some sort of joke? And she's like, no. And she had no idea how I felt. I was like, all right, whatever. And she's like, I think you look hot. I was like, okay. But like, that was it. Like, it never happened again. That was it. We were together like 6-7 years.
Was your wife in like onto you or?
No, I don't think she was onto me. I think it was just something that she just decided to be like, I just want to see you do this. I was like, okay, maybe, I don't know. Maybe she caught me trying something on that I didn't know about. You know what I mean? She was just like,
and how did things unfold after that?
We got dressed up, had sex, and that was it.
No, but like,
it didn't unfold after that with that relationship. Nothing else happened. Got divorced. That's when I started actually like purchasing clothes, met my second wife. And I was afraid to bring it up to her. And my second wife was like the pinnacle of a woman I would adore to want to be. She was tall. She was like 5'7", 5'8". She wore heels. And when she wore heels, we were eye to eye. She had long blonde hair, just like this, now that I think about it. And what I did to hide how I feel, and I didn't realize this until after therapy, is that I bought her clothes that I liked. I bought her shoes that I liked. I bought her shirts and tops that I liked, that because I wanted to see myself in them. But because I couldn't, I lived vicariously through her. And I never thought about that until I went to therapy and I was like, oh. Because I used to go to the stores all the time for no reason at all. I'd go buy a new pair of shoes or a new pair, a new pocketbook, or a new purse, new shirt, new skirt, new dress. And like people would just be like, what are you getting this for? I'm like, no reason. And it's just something that she loved. And I loved it because I got to see her in it and I would imagine myself in it. But we didn't get to do anything like that.
Do you think this was something that just, the wiring was different with you than your brothers or any normal?
I think so. Was
there any event, sexual abuse or anything like that?
No sexual abuse at all. None, zero whatsoever. And before there was like any abuse to me as a child, I had this feeling before that anyway. Mm. So it wasn't a big, like, a lot of people think like, oh, you had, the only way you feel this way is because you experienced abuse. And it's like, no, I felt this way before I knew that anybody in my family was getting abused. I knew before I got abused. And I didn't get abused much. I got abused a little bit, but not much. Like back in the 80s, I mean, it's the way it was. You screwed up, you got a beating. Like, I mean, that's the way we raised kids back then. That's, I mean, so it's not like out of the norm. you know, and then after my second divorce, I was single for a while and I was buying way more clothes and spending more time doing it. And then when I met my last wife on the second date, I told her everything. I was just like, I like to present as a female sometimes. I like to wear clothes. I like to go out in public if I can. I'm scared to, but I really want to. I told her about like I was like I went through a phase where I basically just said, I think it was around like 35, where I was just like, you know what? Can I swear? I
don't know. Sure.
I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to try everything and anything. Like, I'm going to try every type of sex there is, every type of kink there is, every type of fetish there is, and see if I like it. Because why not? Like, I'm single. Why not try everything that's out there? So I tried a bunch of things. Some things I liked, some things I didn't. And then so I got really into kink and bondage. And I told my last wife about that. And she was like, sounds great. Let's do it. I'm in. And that was like during the, for her, I think it was because it was like when that stupid movie came out, 50 Shades of Grey. So she was like, oh yeah, that's, yeah, absolutely. But I was like way beyond that anyway. But she actually embraced the feminine side of me and she helped me get ready to go out. So I started going out to clubs that like welcomed cross-dressers and stuff like that. And like, so like felt comfortable. The first time I ever went out in public, it was like 11 o'clock at night. I got dressed up and I drove to the gas station, got gas and came home. And I felt like so scared and so nervous doing it. Cause I was like, oh my God, like who's gonna look at me? Who's gonna stare at me? Like who's gonna catch me? I believe there was like when a cop like in the parking lot and like when I got gas and I was like, uh-oh, what is he? I was like, he's gonna think that like, I just thought also at the things like, cause I felt so wrong about it. And went home. And then my wife at the time, went out with me, bought me normal clothes, like more like casual feminine clothes, and took me out on my first actual date in public with her in Newburyport. And it was great. She even bought me a fake diamond ring to put on so it looked like I had a female wedding ring on. And it was amazing. It was beautiful. So, but our marriage dissolved over completely different reasons. And then after the marriage is when I was just like, okay, I have my own place. I don't have anybody to like be prepared for except for my daughter when she's here. But when she's not here and we had 50-50 custody. So I'm like, outside of work, I had time to just be me. And I got happier and happier and happier.
How old are you now?
48.
48?
Yeah.
You look good for 48.
Thank you.
Now, the bodybuilding thing plays into this somehow, too.
Yeah, so not bodybuilding. I did competitive strongman and powerlifting. So before my transition, my last strongman competition, I ranked third in the United States in my age group and weight class. So I was way bigger than I am now.
So that makes the whole thing safer for you because a lot of...
Yeah, and I think so.
A lot of trans women will get picked on or beaten up or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, in the scale of things, like I've spent so much time doing research on like how many trans women get beat up, like in public, this, that, and the other thing. And like, I mean, it's unfortunate. But it does happen. I will definitely say that me coming out, like I did something a lot of trans women don't do. I came out before I started hormones. I came out before any surgeries. So when I came out and said, hey, this is me, I'm presenting 24/7 as a female, I was still 6 feet tall, 235 pounds, and like 15% body fat. I was huge. And like, it's not until I look at pictures now going, oh, wow, yeah, you were a big human. And like now I look at myself in the mirror, I'm like, wow, I'm so skinny. I'm so small.
Yeah, but you're still big enough to intimidate or just stop somebody from picking on you.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, when it's done in a group, you know, groups are groups. So you're always going to be cautious of groups. And, you know,
have you had bad experiences?
I haven't had any bad experiences. I've had experiences where like I felt afraid, but nothing came of it. But then, you know, I think... because of my level-headedness with it, I think a lot of more people accept me than don't accept me.
And the world is changing quickly, too.
Yes, rapidly. Sometimes in the good direction, sometimes not so much in a good direction.
But it seems, in general, the world is more accepting, at least here in the U.S.
Yeah, I would say that definitely in the U.S. and in certain states. Like, I know some, I met someone who left Texas to come live in Massachusetts simply because he was gay and the area of Texas he grew up in was completely unsafe to be gay in. And he was deciding whether or not he wanted to be trans. And like, I actually took him out publicly his first time as a female just to kind of help him. And he was like, I could never do this at home. I could never tell anybody. Like, he literally left Texas, changed his name and everything because he was that scared of being there in Texas in the particular area he was in. So it's like, I think the more south you go in certain areas of the country is where you got to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. It's a generalization. That's probably true.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated with that. You're the first trans person I've interviewed that mentioned this, that you were admiring how women looked and were, but instead of wanting to be in a relationship with one, you wanted to be one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm heterosexual, so I still want to be in a relationship with one, but like my desire to be one had nothing to do with my sexuality. That's probably one of the biggest misconceptions, that everybody thinks that if you're trans, you're gay. And that's not the case. It's just
you've never had sex with a man?
Oh, I have. Yeah. And I got no problem admitting it. I have. It wasn't for me.
You'd rather be
with a woman 100%.
With a female.
Yeah.
But you want to be one as well.
Absolutely.
Can't say my job isn't interesting.
No, it's not.
I get everything. And women are open to these kind of relationships? I'm sure there's lots of them.
Plenty. My DMs of last week alone, I had 3 marriage proposals
from women.
From women. Guys, I get hit on by guys in my DMs quite a bit, but they're a little bit more aggressive. Then it's not marriage proposals.
I'll bet it's not.
No, it's not. But I've had plenty of people like be like, "Can I take you out? Can I do this? Can I do that?" And I'm like, "I'm not into women," and they're like, "Oh, I'm surprised." And I'm like, I mean, I'm not into men. And they're like, "Oh, like, sorry." And it's like this one guy was like asking me for advice for fitness, and he was a powerlifter. And he was like, "Oh, you're beautiful." He goes, "What would you do if our eyes locked from across the gym?" I said, "They wouldn't." He goes, "Well, what if they did?" I'm like, "They wouldn't. Not like that." I said, "If I looked at you from across the gym, it'd because I'd be admiring a lift you were doing. I'm like, not you." He's like, "Oh, come on." I'm like, "I'm not attracted to men in that way." I said, "I can admire that you're very big and strong and your technique is good." I'm like, "But that's pretty much where it ends." He's like, "Oh."
And so you're taking hormones to be more.
Yes. So I've been
on bodybuilding or for being being
feminine. So I've been on estrogen and progesterone for 2 years.
And yet you're so big.
Yeah. But it takes a while. Like, so right now I average about 205 and I used to average 235, 6 feet.
6 feet.
Yeah. And I used to average like 235. My strength has gone down significantly, but I'm still going to the gym and working out actively. To give you an idea, like my normal test level as a man would usually be around 700. Right now it's at 9, which is lower than normal female testosterone levels. Female testosterone levels are usually between 30 and 50. So right now my testosterone is too low. I might actually have to start taking some testosterone to even it out.
Are there long-term health effects from screwing with your estrogen?
Oh, of course there is. Yeah, there's all sorts. And the funny thing is that like this is one of the biggest topics that I cover when people – I have all sorts of people all over the world reach out to me about their kids and stuff like that, taking hormones and all that. Like when you go to transition, they tell you the good things like that you want to hear. Like you're going to develop breasts. Your skin is going to get softer. You know, if you're a female to male, your voice will get deeper. And a lot of people think that your voice gets lighter when you take female hormones. That doesn't work that way, as you can tell. But they don't tell you that, you know, be prepared for like you potentially after so many years might experience discharge from your chest. Because you do start to form milk ducts and everything else. And I just experienced that just a couple of weeks ago. And I was like, the hell is this?
You're producing milk?
No, it wouldn't say it's milk at the moment. It's from what the research I've done is it's like because the ducts are so new and it's going from like a male body to a female, to a female body, like it's like nasty discharge that you have to wait until your hormones regulate a little bit more in that area for it to actually do that. And it won't produce milk unless I like actually like physically try to.
Or start holding a baby or something like that.
Yeah, I guess start holding a baby or start like physically pumping and stuff like that. And I actually did research into this because people asked me. It's definitely odd to think about, but the research does show that trans women, after being on hormones for so long, can actually be able to breastfeed a baby. And the nutrition is not 100% up to par, but it's close enough that they said that a baby could drink from it and be perfectly fine. And I find that to be totally awkward, and I would never do it. And I've seen pictures of people doing it, and I'm just like, it's not for me, but to each their own, you know? So, yeah, the hormones, the one thing I will say that I've heard other people say is that they get like the cramps and stuff like that. None of that's ever happened to me.
And you've been on testosterone too?
Before this, yeah.
When you were just trying to be
large. Yeah, so I naturally had low testosterone. Normally when people transition male to female, they have to take a testosterone blocker. I never had to. My testosterone, once I got off of taking therapeutic testosterone, is just right down the drain. So, yeah. And my estrogen is like perfect. It's at like 165, which is perfect level.
So you think you were born this way?
I think there's some like, there's been like hints, like going through therapy, there's been things that has helped me with hints about like, like I was always thin and lean and had abs when I was a kid, but I always had like puffy nipples and never went away. And like, I was always embarrassed, like playing soccer when we scrimmaged, it was shirts and skins. And I would always be embarrassed going on the skin side. Cause it was like, here's a skinny kid with like these puffy nipples that just look. So yeah, it could have been like, I mean, who knows? There's no real work into it to say that you were, or you weren't. I mean, you can go get your hormones checked. Maybe I have an extra X chromosome. Who knows? You know, so it's definitely not easy to determine.
And your romantic life now is doing well?
Currently single.
But I'm sure there are guys who are into, or women that are into, sounds like there are women that are into this.
Yes. I've had a partner for like the last 2.5 years. We were off and on. And during that off time, I actually dated a woman that I met on TikTok for like 5 months. So yeah, I mean, there's plenty of women that are interested.
There's something for everybody.
Yeah, but I don't think it's, I honestly don't think it's because of me being trans. I think it's because people just, I don't know. I think
You're certainly attractive and you're interesting. And
I'm just me. Like, I don't try to be anybody else. I don't try to.
That's maybe the most attractive part of it.
Yeah. Like, I just tell it like it is.
That's awesome. You're in the right century to be doing this.
Yes, definitely.
And things are probably going to get better from here.
Maybe. Maybe not. Who knows?
I can't imagine us going back to the 60s.
No, I couldn't either.
Not that the 60s were bad, but they were just not the right environment for people like you.
No, they weren't. And it's funny thing is like some people reach out to me that, you know, because a lot of people think that transgenderism is this new thing. And I've had transgender women reach out to me that are like 75. And they're like, yep.
Do you think this has always been around? It just wasn't safe to come out?
Yep. A woman that was literally, she was 75 years old. She reached out to me and she told me that she transitioned in 1953. I was like, really? She's like, yep. I was like, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think I would buy that because I can remember as a kid seeing older men that were clearly not straight, but they just didn't make a big deal about it.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like everyone's proud to be gay and.
Yeah, proud to be gay, but then also everybody's also wants to be in everybody's business.
Social media.
Yeah, social media
has made that happen.
Yeah, and the funny thing is like. Like when I told my ex-wife that I was finally going to come out and do this, I told her point blank, I said, you watch. I said, I'm going to help people. I said, I'm going to help people. I said, I'm going to save people's lives. I said, and I'm going to go public with this. I said, I want people to know how I feel. I said, yeah, because I think it'll help.
Your mental, like your attitude to me seems one of the healthiest of all the trans people I've interviewed.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Like really down to earth, normal. I can imagine just like having lunch with you and just having conversations about working out or about whatever.
Yeah.
And not making it about the sexual thing that is such a huge part of that world.
Right. And like, the biggest misconception is that everybody thinks that like I'm some new person. And it's like, I'm not. I'm the same person I was my whole life.
How was your family?
What's that?
How has your family reacted to it?
My older brother took some convincing because, like, you know, me and him were the closest out of each other. And, you know, I think he just couldn't understand because I hid it from him. All he saw was his little brother that joined the Marine Corps, then became this humongous, strong person. And, like, you know, we grew up building hot rods and, you know, doing manual labor. Like, you know, that was our upbringing. You know, we hung out together, played pool, drank beers, like fixed cars together, lifted together for years. Like he couldn't fathom it. So it took him a little bit to understand, but that was it. And when I showed my mother a picture, my mother was just like, "Eh, not surprised." I'm like, "Really? That's it? Yeah, whatever." I'm like, "Okay." It was never mentioned again.
So you joined the Marines at one point?
I joined the Marines at 18. Well, I was 17 when I signed the papers, so my parents had to sign for me. But yeah, I literally left the day we graduated. I got picked up by the recruiter that day.
You're an interesting cat. You're joining the Marines, becoming trans, but yeah. You're into women sexually.
Yeah, I'm awkward, different.
Different. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong. It's just you're just unusual.
Yeah.
Think is wonderful.
Me too.
and you own it, which is really the most refreshing part of it.
Yes. You have to own it.
Yeah. If you're hiding it and in the closet about it,
it hurts. And that's what I did for so many years, you know, cause like I didn't actually come out until I was 46 years old. So like the comparison to the Dave I used to be to the Davianer I am today has happened over the last 2 years. So
is your life better now?
It's happier. I'll tell you that. That's the best thing.
Did you feel like you didn't live your earlier years as well as you could have?
No, I feel like, I'm proud of the things I've accomplished, like joining the Marine Corps. Like ever since I was a kid, I had this thing where I wanted to help people. Like I just always felt the need to help. So it was like, let's join the military. But part of me also was like, let's join the military and hope it beats whatever this is out of me. And so I was like, not going to join the Navy, not going to join the Army, the Air Force. Like what's the hardest branch of the military? And like, it's the Marine Corps.
So you had an attitude at one point in your life where you wanted to change this, fix it, whatever?
It's not that I wanted to change it or fix it. It's that like I didn't know what it was. I didn't have anybody telling me that this isn't wrong. This is wrong. I didn't have anybody telling me like you should go do this. I was surrounded by boys and men that were boys and men. And they were straight. And like that's what you do. So like I was like, this must be what I should do.
But 3-4 years ago, you were presenting as a male.
Yep. I was presenting as a male in public, but not in private. Mm. Yeah. So like I've been presenting in private as a female since, I don't know, 2012, 13, 2013.
Tell me about the difference between presenting as a male and a female.
Back then or now?
Just whatever. I'm just fascinated with you're living as a woman now.
I mean, living as a woman now, having my features be softer, my body smaller. I mean, I went through 2 facial surgeries, breast augmentation, 2 years of hormones. Inside, way happier. Like I look in the mirror and I am pleased at what I look at. Like before, when I was, you know, this big strength athlete, strength coach, you know, dad, all that stuff, it was like I looked in the mirror and I wasn't pleased with what I saw here. And down here was just like, just get bigger and stronger, just get bigger and stronger, or just get leaner, one or the other. I was never pleased. Never, ever was I pleased with my body. So that was a struggle.
Do you think any of that is it a body dysmorphia that you would call it?
Yes. Yeah, I would say body dysmorphia, that's definitely a term. I think anybody that, like, I think almost everybody has a little bit of body dysmorphia.
Sure.
Because everybody's unhappy with some point of their body. Nobody goes look in the mirror and goes, yeah, this is the best body ever. I love it. You know, I'm getting to that point now where I look in the mirror and I'm like way happier. Like when I look in the mirror.
No, that's definitely true. Because I've dated women who have the most perfect bodies I've ever seen.
And they hate it. Yeah, I've had so many clients that way.
I ask them, like, when you wake up in the morning, do you just look in a full-length mirror and high-five yourself? Because, like, you can't do any better than this.
And they're and those are the ones that hate their body the most.
No, they don't hate it, but they're just not perfectly happy all
right.
the time. And,
yeah.
and I think that attitude of not being perfectly happy with something is how you achieve that kind of Michael Jordan greatness or this perfect body or whatever it is.
Yep. I definitely agree with that. And, like, now it's like when I get up in the morning and, you know, take a shower, whatever I do. And like when I, like everyone's like, you put a full face of makeup on every day. I'm like, yes. They're like, what's your favorite part?
And you enjoy that?
I love it. The fact that I can get up in the morning and paint my face however I want to, like, feels great. It's like another part of my outfit. And it just, it literally makes me smile to do it. It's
being a woman is more fun than a man?
I wouldn't say it's more fun. I would say it's different. There's more options. There's more, like, I feel like as a man, it was like, okay, we get dressed up nice today. So instead of wearing jeans and sneakers or jeans and boots, I'm going to put on a suit and a suit jacket and a tie. Boohoo.
Navy black or
yeah, gray. You know, it's like as a woman, it's like, all right, I can wear nice casual pants with some shoes or some flats, or I can wear a dress. You know, I can do my hair so many different ways.
You can wear colors.
You know, I can match my lipstick and my eyeshadow to my outfit, or I can contrast them. Like, I can change my nails. Like, it's just so much more to it that makes it that much more exciting. You can do much, much more as a woman when it comes to how you present yourself on the outside.
What would you say? Because I'm sure on social media, you're going to get comments saying this guy's sick and, you know, this is demented and all that kind of stuff. What would you say to these people?
I'd say I'm probably the most not demented and the most sane, healthy person that's going through this that you're ever going to meet, because like I'm not trying to like hide who I was. I'm not trying to put that person in the past, like, and I'm not trying to become a woman. I'm trying to become me. That's it. Like, and I'm not screaming at the top of a mountain, I am a woman, and you need to respect that. Like, I know I'm not a woman. Like, and I know I, no matter how much surgery or hormones I take, I can't be one. What I can be is as close to what I think I want to be and just be me. And the version of me that has been screaming from the inside to the outside for years is femininity and the female appearance and the female look and the walk. And like, it just, I have no idea what a woman feels like. You know, I don't, and I never will. And I think if you were to ask a woman what it feels like to her to be a woman, I think the answers would be different depending upon who you asked. The same thing with men. Like, what's it feel like to be a man? Oh, I don't know. Like, it's just, it's a feeling that's inside you. Like, you can't actually put it to words unless you start talking about, like, anatomy. And then it's like, well, yeah, that's the definite things. But, like, what's the feeling? What's the emotion? And I think that's different for everybody, whether you're male or female. There is no one certain emotion that everybody has as a woman or as a man. So, like, I'm just trying to be me. And I'm not trying to hide the fact that I used to be a man. It's just, this is who I am. You know, people ask me, what do you identify as? And I'm like, a human. Just call me Daviana. Like, that's it. That's just that simple. Too many people want to put labels on everything. Like, I don't need a label. Just call me Daviana.
But you're cool with your male body, sexual parts and things like that. You're not looking to fix that.
No, I mean, I've...
Even though you've had breast augmentation.
Yeah, so I have had thoughts of it.
Oh, yeah.
I've definitely had thoughts of it. And I've done the research into it. I've talked to people that have had it done, some good, some bad. When I first started researching it about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, the stories were more bad than good. Now they've kind of, like, people that do it recently, stories I've heard are more good than bad. But one of the popular things that always came to my mind is, like, I'm interested in women. So why would I cut it off to strap another one on? What's the point? I have one. It works. I like it. I enjoy it.
Your partners enjoy it?
Partners enjoy it. It functions.
If you didn't have it, your partners might be like,
yeah, you know, it's like funny. People always tell me, so you're a lesbian. I'm like, no. They're like, well, yeah, you are. I'm like, no, lesbian is a woman that's gay. I'm not a woman. But then you have those people that'll be like, oh no, you're a woman. And it's like, whatever. Like, I don't really care. Like, you want to categorize me your way, go right ahead. I'm just Daviana. I mean, on social media, I say I'm a trans woman because I think it helps other people with their mindset of what I'm doing with myself. Like, I'm not your typical trans person at all. And I don't speak for the trans community. I just speak for me. And that's it.
Yeah, you have a very healthy attitude about the whole thing.
Yeah, you have to.
It helps.
It definitely does help.
It helps. Do you have any regrets, like the way you handled the last 40 years or whatever?
Regrets? No, because like if I didn't like wait, I wouldn't have my daughter. My daughter is the absolute love of my life. I mean, I literally, that was my biggest fear was like, how am I going to tell my 6-year-old daughter that dad wants to present this way?
How did she handle it?
Surprisingly, unbelievably well. Shocked the living daylights out of it. Because I spent an extra 2 years going to therapy, just discussing with my therapist, like, how do we do this? We looked for all sorts of research all across the world to find someone in my position. Couldn't find anyone. And she told me she found like one person in like the UK, but he wasn't transitioning. He just wears feminine clothes. He's married, has kids, wears feminine clothes. Wasn't transitioning, wasn't changing his name. Literally, I think he was like a college professor or something. I think he's pretty popular. He wears skirts and nylons and high heels and goes and teaches, and he's pretty well known. But like, that's the only case. So she's been my biggest supporter.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. We've had a tight bond, like ever since she was a baby. She definitely was a daddy's girl. She's still a daddy's girl.
Her image of what a dad or what a man should be is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, she spent the first 6 years of her life growing up with a very big, strong daddy. And like, she still looks at me as a big, strong daddy. Like, she still calls me daddy. You know, she still, like, she comes in the gym with me and like calls me weak every now and then. Just tell me I'm getting fat. You know, she's my little mini me. She looks just like me. It's amazing. I love her to death. Yeah, and she's surprisingly, like, she'll say little things here and there that will surprise you. Like, if someone, what was it, last 4th of July? I think it was last 4th of July. We were driving through the streets and, like, taking a bunch of detours to get to where we wanted to go, and the streets were shut down. So it was kids on bicycles riding all around and stuff like that. And this kid, like, looked in at me, and I think it was, like, recently after my surgery, my face was swollen. And, like, he was like, what the hell are you anyway? And, like, I just kept driving, didn't say anything. And then, you know, the windows were down, so my daughter heard it. And 3-4 minutes later, my daughter's like, Daddy. I'm like, what's up, babe? She's like, I don't like that boy. I was like, that's okay, babe. Don't worry about it. I don't like him either, you know? And then, like, she'll say things, like, if people will talk about, like, females or gender, like, she'll be like, you know, there's 3 women in the room right now. And I'm like, it's okay, honey. You don't have to defend me. Like, it's all right. But, like, she doesn't, like, she calls me daddy all the time. And she likes the fact, and I think she's seen how much happier I am. You know, the first time we met some of her school friends on the playground, we went to a farm that had, like, an outdoor obstacle course. And I was presenting female. It was the summer after her last school year. And she comes off of the obstacle course and she's like, look who I ran into. And I was like, oh, hi. And we went over to see the moms, and the moms just looked at me. I was like, hi. They're like, it's David, right? I'm like, yep. I said, you got any questions? Just feel free to ask. They're like, no, we're cool. And then, like, one of their daughters walked right up to my daughter, who was standing in front of me, and was like, why does your daddy look like a woman? And without missing a beat, no hesitation at all, God bless this girl, she goes, because it makes him happy, and that's all that really matters. And I was just like, and then they went, okay, and turned and ran away. And went to go play. And I just looked at the other 2 moms and I was like,
They went off to play together?
Yeah. I was like, did you guys just hear that? They're like, yeah. I'm like, is she 6 or 18? Like, what the hell? And she's just always been, as long as my daughter knows she loves me, like that I love her, and like I'm always going to be her dad, she has no issue with it, really. I mean, she was nervous at first, but talking her through it the whole bit. And like, I made sure that she was on board every step of the way. Like, a lot of people gave me crap in the beginning, and most of the crap I got was from other trans people online. You know, they would like be like, you haven't even changed your voice yet. You haven't changed your name yet. Like, you're not trans. You're not this. You're not that. And it's like, I wasn't going to get into a battle with these people and be like, well, I haven't changed my voice yet because I'm working on it and I don't know if I'm going to get voice surgery. So I'm doing a little bit of therapy here and there. I haven't changed my name yet because my daughter's not okay with it. I haven't got breast augmentation yet because my daughter's not okay with it. And like, my daughter told me step by step, even to the point of like when it came to like getting rid of my boy clothes. Like, it was, everything was done at her pace because like, I didn't want to just throw it all at her and have her be like, what the hell? Like, we had a typical father, daughter, like special day every day of the week. And she had one outfit that she loved. It was like a pair of like light gray slacks with very faint pinstripes in them and black shoes and a pink button up. And every time we would go out, she wanted me to wear that same outfit. Like, I literally would take this outfit to the dry cleaners like every week. And
it was pink.
Yeah, the top was pink. But like, you know, like a, I don't know, like a salmon pink, like a man's pink, I'd call it. Okay. But she loved it. And like, that's the one thing I would do. So like, one day after, like, you know, probably 3 or 4 months into it, I was starting to get rid of some of the extra boy clothes because I was already presenting every day as a woman. The only time I saved my boy clothes was if she decided that like she wanted me to present more male, because like, I was on hormones, but I hadn't had any surgery yet. You know, I was still big. I hadn't have any, no surgeries, no surgery, and the hormones didn't really take effect yet. And she comes in the room. She says, what are you doing? I was like, I'm just getting rid of some of these clothes. I don't wear that much anymore. And she's like, oh, she's like, can I help? I'm like, sure. First thing she reached into the closet was for that favorite outfit. Put it in the trash bag. We're giving everything to Salvation Army. I was like, what are you doing? I was like, I was going to save that for daddy-daughter days. She goes, no. She goes, you don't need to dress like a boy anymore, daddy. I was like, really? Are you sure? And she's like, yeah. I was like, okay. And that was it.
What a wonderful daughter.
Yeah. And like, step by step, like even my name changed. It was like, do I look feminine enough for you? Like, can we change the name now? And she's like, not yet. A couple months later, she came right up to me. She goes, okay, you can change your name now. I was like, okay, thanks.
It's great that you have such a good relationship with her.
Yeah. Try to.
Let me ask you a question that I ask almost everybody I interview. What would you say, Daviana, is the most important thing you've learned in your life?
Most important thing I've learned in my life. Take a step back and learn to be kind and tolerant. Let people live their life, as long as it doesn't affect you. Like, be kind to them, no matter how different they are. Like, there's going to be different people all over the place. There's no need to hate them. Like, you know, like, obviously, like, there's going to be people that, you know, get in fights and assault and stuff like that, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just like people in general. Like, I don't ask anybody to accept me as a woman. I don't ask anybody to call me certain pronouns. I'm a human being that's going to treat every human being with respect. All I ask for is that same respect back. And when you see someone that is uncomfortable or someone that is like having a bad day and they decide to lash out at you, instead of lashing back, take a minute to take a step and realize they might just be having a bad day. Let it go. It's not worth it. It's not worth your energy. Like, just be kind. Like, the most important thing I've learned is to be kind and be accepting. And like, there's no need to be mean. There's none. It takes effort to be mean. It takes no effort to be kind. I would say the biggest thing that I've learned, and to let things go. You know, have your boundaries and be happy with your boundaries, but respect other people's boundaries. And, you know, if someone crosses your boundary, be respectful in letting them know. It's pretty much like the biggest thing that I've learned in all of my life. Like, you can change yourself, but you can't change anyone else. So keep that in mind.
That's probably the best answer to that question that I've heard yet. Yours and Mike Dowd's. Best answer to that question ever. Daviana, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're interesting as can be.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Keep it up. What's your social media?
So Facebook is still, they won't let me change my name. So it's David Memont.
David what?
David Memont.
How do you spell that?
M-E-M-O-N-T.
There you go.
YouTube is Daviana 78, and TikTok is Common Sense Life Coach, which a lot of people like. Common Sense, look at you. And I'm like, listen to me before you judge that one. And then Instagram is Daviana One and Only. That's it.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're something else. Thank you.